Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Libraries have a long history of filling in gaps in social services, and the Boston Public Library is no different. So today, we're talking with Michael Colford. He's the Director of Library Services for the BPL. He's going to fill us in about what social and community service programs they offer and what they're looking ahead to in 2023. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Daryl. Thanks very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So the Boston Public Library is more than this big, beautiful building in Copley Square, right? For folks who may not be aware, just how much of an institution is it in the city?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, the Boston Public Library has our main central library here in Copley Square, but we're much, much more than that. In addition to all the resources you can find here, we have 25 branches throughout the entire city, in neighborhoods across the city, and we also have a lot of institutional history behind us. We were the first municipally funded public library in the country. We had the first branch library for any library system, and we had the first children's library in a public library. So those are all great firsts, and it shows how the community really supports its libraries.
Wow. Okay. So the library has been around for a long time. You know, it's really ingrained in the community, but it's been a tough couple years. The pandemic has hit all of us. How has the BPL held up through COVID and the ongoing impact?
Sure. Well, when COVID hit, it was a big challenge for libraries because we're helping people every single day. So we did shut down briefly, like everyone else did. But about a month after the shutdown in March, we started to reopen for a curbside style service. So people could start getting books from any location from the public library. They would place a hold online and then they would come and pick up those books. We also transitioned to doing a lot of our programming virtually. So if you had a child that attended our story time, you could still do that via Facebook or Zoom. And slowly over time, we would just keep adding services in. And now when things started to reopen, we're still dealing with this new normal that we all face now and trying to figure out the best way to serve people in today's world.
And, you know, when it comes to libraries, we think about books. But, you know, the library is also this really valuable resource when it comes to social services and just being a community hub, you know? It's like one of the few places where people can just go and just be without any expectation to like buy something or something like that, you know? Now that we're at the top of the year, what sorts of social service programs are you bringing in from the previous year and looking ahead to in 2023?
2022 is actually a great year where we started a couple of really great programs around this type of work. And it actually started before the pandemic. And then there was a big trend in urban libraries, particularly around bringing social workers into the library to help provide that kind of service. Because as you said, we're open to everyone. We have all sorts of people coming through the doors. We have visitors struggling with homelessness or housing insecurity, struggling with mental illness, struggling with addiction. And librarians are not social workers. They do the best they can, but they're not trained specifically to work with this kind of population. Our first step was actually about 4 years ago. We hired a health and human services specialist who is a librarian, but specialized in providing informational resources and making connections and referrals with various external partners. Then in 2002, we did hire our first library social worker who's been wonderful. She's been with us now for almost a year. She works with a team of interns from Simmons University who are in the Graduate School of Social Work. She spent her first year doing a very in-depth needs assessment. So it was a really great opportunity to start to reach out to them with a specifically trained social worker to help them in a better way.
That's huge. And in addition to that, I want to zero in on one thing that I found super interesting, a particular program. I understand you have an entrepreneur in residence. Can you talk about who this person is and what they do?
Sure. Our Kirstein Business Library and Innovation Center, which is found here at the Central Library, they started off offsite as a business resource library. And when we renovated the library in 2017, we added an Innovation Center component to the Kirstein Business Library and Innovation Center. And they provide services for entrepreneurs, for small businesses. We do financial literacy work and workforce development work. And last year, in 2022, we developed this Entrepreneur in Residence program through the help of our fund for the Boston Public Library. So our first Entrepreneur in Residence is Dr. Alana DeGrassa. She started in September of 2022, and she will be our entrepreneur in residence for 8 months through April of 2023. It's a paid position. She's here about 20 hours a week. She's focusing mainly on the BIPOC community and also other underserved communities. And since she started in September, she has had over 100 appointments with prospective entrepreneurs who want to start businesses or invent something new or a new service.
Oh, yeah. And just can you give me a sense of what kind of entrepreneurs participate in that program? Like, you know, what kind of businesses are they trying to start?
It runs the gamut. I mean, we've had people who are looking to start daycare centers, some younger folk who are doing things with technology and developing apps. And the great thing about the Innovation Center is we have an innovation lab there where they can learn how to do video editing and audio editing and graphic design. They can create their own logo. They can create their own promotional video. They can do podcasts. We have a lot of people who record podcasts. So we're trying to give them the tools and then the assistance so they can go off on their own and become successful. And we're having two entrepreneurs in residence a year. So as she leaves us, we'll have a new one coming on. So we're very excited about this service.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm blown away.
It's great.
That's such good, positive news to hear. You know, it's nice to remind people that, you know, these things are available to you. They're free. It's public. It's there, you know. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on the services you can use at the Boston Public Library.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
Hadestown is Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning best musical. It's an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, says Forbes. A Broadway musical like no other. The New York Times raves, Hadestown is as good as it gets. Get your tickets now to Hadestown.
At the Box Center Wang Theater, April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
And we're back. These are some pretty major undertakings, you know. I'm very curious to know just how sustainable and stable they are, you know. Can you talk to me about what it takes to maintain these programs, you know, both from a funding and management perspective?
Sure. We've had a lot of challenges since the pandemic with a lot of staff vacancies. During the pandemic itself, we had a hiring freeze for a period of time. A lot of people retired a little bit early. So we're still dealing with filling those vacancies. And then the funding issue, as I mentioned earlier, the Fund for the Boston Public Library is our philanthropic arm. They raise a lot of funding for us to do these enhanced services that we're talking about. And the planning we do around this is they get us started. And then when we prove how important these services are and how much they're used, we then transition to bringing them in by talking to the city, by bringing them in permanently on the city budget.
So it's, you know, it's really the start of 2023. You know, we're in January, it's early, et cetera. Is there anything new you're hoping to start this year or any goals you'd like to achieve?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things that were started in the last couple of years, but we really need to now go to the next level. So one of the great things that we did in the last year or so was a long-term lending for laptops and routers to provide people with connectivity who don't have it.
So that's huge.
Yeah, we received a lot of federal funding for this. So over the last year, we have distributed 6,200 laptops and about 3,000 or so routers to get people connected to the internet. So we've worked very closely with the Boston Housing Authority and several other partners. Now the work we're doing that has started is, so we've gotten the technology into people's hands. A lot of these people have never used a computer before or need a lot of help working with a computer. So we have a major digital literacy component where we actually teach them the real basics about using a computer, how to use a mouse, how to search the internet, what resources are available to them. So that's a big piece that with this huge influx of new users, we hope to really spend a lot of time on. Another area that we've kind of been transitioning toward is we have a pretty successful homework assistance program through our youth services program. We hire high school mentors to work with younger kids with their homework. We're actually looking to expand that to a more broad scholastic support service where we're working with paid college mentors who help high school students with test prep, exam school test prep, SAT test prep. We have a huge demand for that. We have a lot of people asking for that. Whenever we do an SAT prep course, it's totally filled. It's a great way, again, to level the playing field because this is stuff that people are, you need to hire a tutor or you need to pay to go to this class. This will be offered for free.
Oh, that sounds pretty dope. Wow. Okay. Now, let's just say I'm someone listening to this podcast and I want to participate in one of these programs. How do I go about doing that?
Sure, the hardest part is, of course, making sure that people know about these services so that they can come and take advantage of them. Obviously, we have a website that people can go to and look for all of these services that are mentioned on the website, so they can just reach out to us through that. But if they don't have access to the website or they don't think of that, they're always welcome to just walk through the door at the Boston Public Library, especially in the Central Library. The Kirstein Business Library is in our lower level. Our community learning team, who does a lot of this community-focused work, is up on the second floor. They can call, they can email. We're trying to do more outreach where we're getting out to underserved communities who might not be so tuned into the library. So we're actually trying to get out there to tell them, hey, all of these services are available for you for free, and we would love for you to come in. And we're actually bringing those services out to the community. So we do them in the Central Library in our branches, but we also are trying to partner with a lot of organizations so we can provide these services in community centers, in shelters. So we're doing a lot of that work to really make sure we're hitting the people who really need these services.
Understood. So support your local library, folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Michael, thank you so much for coming through. This was really nice. It's so important that we show love to our library. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Daryl. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's Director of Library Service for the Boston Public Library, Michael Colford. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Please make sure to hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon, or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And I want to let you know that The Common is produced by Franny Monahan and Caitlin Harrop. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I will talk to you later.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated, and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices, and they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons, and there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken, is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.